Now we both kinda like it. Now we both kinda know that if we're ever gonna make it, we just need to let go.
You're listening to the Crosscutting Concerns podcast. I'm your host, Matt Groves. Please visit the site at crosscuttingconcerns.com, where you can subscribe, browse the archives, contact me, read show notes, and leave a comment. I'm recording this podcast on August 23rd, 2017. My guest today is a professional software developer and host of the Pete on Software podcast. We've been trying to make this show happen since December 2016. Pete Scherer, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. If I were any better, I'd have to be twins just to stand it.
Well, thanks for being on the show, Pete. And I've been asking a lot of my guests this year about JavaScript frameworks. And what frameworks are you liking these days?
Yeah, I agree that JavaScript frameworks are definitely in vogue right now. And I've had it a goal to really get into and learn a JavaScript framework like Angular, Vue, React, Aurelia for the last few years, but I never really made it happen. However, I needed to start a project this spring, and I really started to look into them. And the more I looked, the more I really liked, and I really got React. And with React, I'm using Redux to manage state over the built-in state or any other option that's available.
Okay, and so what are you building with React and Redux?
Well, in March, I co-founded a startup that does pharmacy benefits management for workers' comp, and we're building the entire web front end of that application, which is called Synapse, as a pure React application.
So let's get into it. What is React, and then what is Redux, and why do I need to use that with React?
This is a lot of pressure, and hopefully I don't get a lot of "well, actually" texted to me after the podcast or something, but here I go. According to Facebook's own description, React is a JavaScript library for building user interfaces. So what does that even mean, really? So like with React, you can build componentized user interfaces. Typically, you do this in a single page application style, but you absolutely could have multiple actual pages. But at that point, you're basically fighting against the grain when you would do that. I originally hated the idea of a single page application, a SPA, at first a few years ago, but it's finally making a lot more sense to me because the way you develop in React, these components, these pieces, are actually very separate and very testable and very, very composable. So you create these React components, which are JavaScript, and their entire job is to take state and then render out HTML. So in a typical page, you could have a header component, a navigation component, a user detail component, maybe a live feed component if you're making something like Twitter. And then as the underlying state changes, only the components who use that state in their properties, or props as they're called in React, re-render, which makes it very efficient and fast. And everything about React is all JavaScript, which can cause some people heartburn. Any kind of tags, HTML you'd write, you write that right in the render method of the React component. That HTML you write looks 99.9% like regular HTML. I kind of hate to make the comparison, but it's not unlike XML literals in VB.NET, where you just kind of start writing the markup. And in this case, you do it, it's called JSX, and the React parser knows what to do with it. Behind the scenes, it does a bunch of document.createElement calls in order to actually render it out into the virtual DOM. The virtual DOM is probably an entirely another podcast that I'm nowhere near qualified to guest on, but the way I've heard it explained is that the virtual DOM is React's local and simplified copy of the HTML DOM that we've all been familiar with for years. HTML DOM is complicated and subject to vendor choices, and because React is constantly updating and re-rendering, it makes use of this virtual DOM, which is more simplified and conducive to what React is doing. Now, Redux, on the other hand, is a shorter explanation. Basically, Redux is a state container. Just as how in ASP.NET web forms, you could like store a bunch of things in session or view state in order to keep them around, in React, you can store them in state using like set state and get state methods that are available to you. Alternatively, you can use a more robust solution, something like Redux or Flux. Redux operates in a purely functional way, where you dispatch actions that cause the state to change in what are called reducers. And the reducer is always given a copy of the current state and the action it needs to perform, and then a payload, which can be literally anything. The reducer takes that information and returns a new copy of the state based on the old state and what you've asked it to change and how. I hear myself, like as I'm talking and giving this explanation, I sound like a big nerd, but it actually gets me pretty excited how it works. And it may seem complicated, but in reality, once you get it going, it makes the complicated things you want to do in your UI really easy when you realize the only thing you ultimately do in your application is raise an action, which will then in turn change the state, re-render everything appropriately for you. A lot of work up front to make the UI work very simple by comparison.
I've played with React a little bit. I've not touched Redux, but when you say Redux saves state similar to session or view state, Is it saving it in local storage or in JavaScript memory, or where is it being saved?
Isn't JavaScript like within the where anything, anytime you declare a variable in JavaScript, just right there in memory?
Now, why are React and Redux two separate things, but they're often mentioned together? Why wouldn't they just be one single thing called React?
It's not strictly analogous, but it's kind of like in the way whenever people say anything about .NET and what they really mean is C-sharp or C-sharp using .NET 99% of the time. In this case, it's just that React and Redux go together so often that a lot of times people just always say them back to back like that. So you can actually use Redux to manage state with more than just React. There's Redux bindings for Angular, Vue.js, and even Aurelia. Redux just started around React, and it's kind of best known there. Since the creator, his name's Dan Abramov, first wrote it, it's just been widely adopted. And I'll point out, though, that even Dan himself, the creator, has said that many apps don't need Redux, and the built-in state is pretty good and will get you a long way. So sometimes putting Redux in an app makes it a little enterprise-y because of those steps I made of creating actions and reducers. Might be a bit overkill if you're just making a to-do list app or something, but it's actually very, very useful, like I said, the more complex your application gets.
Potentially, we don't even need Redux, but what are some alternatives to Redux if I wanted to use React? Something I could use instead of Redux, maybe a competitor of Redux or something that provides different functionality?
For with Redux, you could just use the internal React state with not a ton of loss. You do sacrifice some of the pure function ability. You can still program around that and make that happen. But then there are other products. There's Flux, which Redux is actually based on. And then there's also another one called MobX. It's MobX is the product, and I think it's pronounced MobX. It does very similar things. MobX is very simple, simplified session storage, very viable competitor, and a lot of people do use that.
So then what are some alternatives to React? And you've already mentioned several of them, the usual suspects there, AngularJS, Angular, Vue, Aurelia, and so on. Is there anything else that we're missing that is an alternative to React? I guess we didn't mention jQuery or traditional JavaScript either, but what are some of the alternatives, and why would I want to go with React?
You know, the alternatives to me, the direct competitors, so to speak, are things like Angular, Ember, Vue, and Aurelia. I see things like Backbone, Knockout, and even jQuery used as like the sole library is kind of a previous generation. jQuery is still used in a lot of DOM manipulation and stuff like that, but it's not for making this kind of application. So to me, even when we were looking for people to hire, it's been hard to find React devs. But what we have aimed for is saying, you show me someone who has a decent amount of Angular experience. Vue would be even more, because Vue is actually very close to React in a lot of paradigms. And if they know this modern JavaScript framework, then that's fine. So why would you pick one over the other alternatively? To me, there's nothing wrong with any of the libraries we just mentioned, honestly. I think great things are being made with all of them, and that's basically what matters, is can you be productive? So you have to find the one that speaks to you and that you can be productive in.
It seems like you're a big fan of React and Redux, and you're building something with it. What is something that you don't like about React and Redux, or something that needs improvement?
Absolutely. And this one, it's the beginning story. It's really hard to get started. Get a project started. I like stupid hard. You typically need to understand NPM to a basic degree, obviously. And then currently the way that current React goes is you need to understand Webpack to a greater degree. And then the more complicated your project, you need to understand the various things you might put into your build pipeline to minify, lint, publish, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The React community did take a stab at this problem and created something called Create React App. Create React App is an NPM package that kind of functions as a getting started CLI. That once it's installed, you say create React app, give it a name, it'll create a React app for you with everything you need. That can take you really far, but it hides a lot of things from you behind just the create React app CLI commands. But from there, once you have it and you've got a project started, you can eject from it is what their terminology is. And when you eject, it takes itself completely out and then shows you everything under the covers. It just puts it back like you had been an expert all along and build it together. There's a way to kind of get along there, but it's really hard. I think I went to get 1% of React understanding took me quite a long time. And then I went from like 1% to 90% probably in 2 weeks, but it took me like 2 months to get to 1%. It's the learning curve at the beginning, super, super high.
I tried to use React a little bit, and where I really stumbled was the rendering part of it, actually writing out those templates in HTML. And I really struggled with just doing a simple thing like a for loop in there to render a list or something like that. So I felt like either I was completely misunderstanding how to use React, or
the documentation was not good or something was going wrong there. So I didn't feel like it was a really good fit for me.
Yeah, the one that people use a lot, the way I've seen that done, the paradigms that people follow is to say, use something like Underscore or one of these other libraries, and you iterate over the collection in a functional way. So what you would do instead of doing a for loop, which you could still do as pure JavaScript, you could write literally a for loop if you wanted. But instead, what you typically do is you could use something like Underscore where you pass a closure or something in there that says, what am I going to do with each member of the list? And that could be to render out this piece of, you know, an LI or whatever it happens to be if it's a very simple list per item or something.
Can you recommend some resources for listeners who are looking to learn React and or Redux?
The way I got into this and the way I got started is everything that Wes Boss is doing. He has a paid React for Beginners course over at reactforbeginners.com that's outstanding. It helped me understand probably 90% of what I know and understand today. And then he has a Learn Redux course at learnredux.com that's also great, completely free. And you build really non-trivial apps. This is not just, here's a to-do list. It's the most simple bootstrap markup ever. No, there's a lot of stuff gone into this. The one you make with Redux is called Reduxtagram. And it's actually like a mini Instagram clone where you can actually like and comment on the pictures that get saved to state. With the one for React for Beginners, he actually ties it to Firebase. You walk through and set Firebase up, and then you actually persist state permanently. So you can sit there and come back and forth, and it becomes almost like a real app at that point. There's nothing that you haven't understood front to back to actually make that work. His is pretty good. I also learned a lot from a guy called Steven Greider, who has a modern React with Redux course over at Udemy. I have all these links too for your show notes. The React track at Pluralsight, it's pretty great. Everything that Corey House has in there is solid gold, but all the courses I found were really good there as well.
I will add these links to the show notes at crosscuttingconcerns.com. Before we go, I also want to plug Pete's podcast and his website, PeteOnSoftware.com. I've been on that show twice now, and it was a great experience for me. So great, I started my own podcast. Is there anything else you'd like to promote before we wrap up the show?
Yeah, I mean, that's about it. I mean, anyone wants to get a hold of me, feel free to reach out on Twitter, PeteOnSoftware. My blog, PeteOnSoftware.com, as he mentioned, I'm findable by that name pretty much everywhere. You can get a hold of me, LinkedIn, anything at all. I'd love to talk about any of the things that I'm into, React. Hit me up. We'll get a drink, whatever we can happen. If you see me at a conference, say hi. Pretty shy, so I won't often initiate stuff with people. But if people come talk to me, I will definitely talk to you. So feel free.
My guest today has been Pete Shearer. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you very much for having me on. It's been really fun.
This has been the Cross-Cutting Concerns podcast, produced and recorded by Matt Groves, 2017. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it on social media and leave a review on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you downloaded this podcast. For show notes, please go to crosscuttingconcerns.com. This episode is recorded under the Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 license. Hosting for this podcast was made possible in part by Microsoft. It was recorded and mixed with the help of Audacity, Skype, and Camtasia Recorder. The theme music is by The Dirty Truckers. You can buy the music on Amazon or iTunes. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on a future episode, please go to crosscuttingconcerns.com to submit your name and idea.